JC Corcoran Podcast.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Monday, August 8th, 2022, 96 days remaining in our American democratic system of government. As we have known, how you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. I don't even know where to start. There's 100 things I could start with, all of which seem to have relatively the same amount of importance. So let's just start with the Cardinals, who are in first place. And what a weekend, sweeping the Yankees. By now, you already know that. The games on Friday and Saturday particularly were so good. And the entire weekend felt like it was some sort of playoff game series in October. As far as yesterday's game is concerned, I think it was incredibly gracious on the part of the St. Louis Cardinal fans who were attending the game at Busch Stadium yesterday when that shitty umpire got hit in the face with a foul ball. He's wearing a mask, obviously, but that'll really stun you. And Yachty actually caught him probably from falling over. And when it was clear that the umpire was going to be okay and remain in the game, people applauded. Like I said, incredibly gracious considering the shitty job he had been doing all day. Now, you can say, and I heard this said a lot yesterday, it's like, well, he was bad for both sides. Yeah, I think he was worse for us. The guy had no idea where the strike zone is. I've heard some speculation that, you know, people are like, well, I think he was having heat stroke because he obviously, you know, couldn't see straight. Yeah, but that's just speculation. There isn't any medical proof that he was having any sort of medical emergency. And let's just say, for the sake of discussion, he was. Well, on top of being a shitty umpire in the first place, he's a shitty decision maker because both franchises are trying to win that game. It's their job. It's also their livelihood. There's almost 50,000 people in the ballpark who paid a lot of money to be there to watch this. you see where I'm going with this. It would be completely irresponsible. Now you can say, hey, if I was having heat stroke, I'd know it. Unfortunately, when you have heat stroke, that's one of the problems. You don't know it, but the people around you know it. You're starting to act like a lunatic. And the other thing that happens with heat stroke, usually, I'm pretty sure I remember reading this, is you stop sweating. So if the temperature is like 95 like it was yesterday, and the temperature humidity index made it feel like it was about 109, and you're not sweating, yeah, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. But don't let anybody downplay the importance of what happened at Busch Stadium for 72 hours there, because not only was it a marquee event with two first-place teams, one from the American League, one from the National League, both meeting with their storied franchise histories, going face-to-face. The entire sports world was watching that this weekend. And considering that everything from Major League Baseball to the sports universe, for that matter, is all centered in New York, trust me, people noticed this. In addition to the Cardinals' winning streak, and by the way, is this right? Yeah, the Cardinals have not lost at Busch Stadium since July 14th, and this is the 8th of August. You know, the games were so important to the standings. People are already doing scoreboard watching with regard to Milwaukee, and they lost again yesterday. So all of this is going on, and all of that is the nuts and bolts of the sports competition from the weekend. But the better story was the story of redemption. And that is what is so inspiring. And let me just tell you something. I'm sensitive to the criticism that I had in the past that I get too romantic about baseball. I'm not one of those people who starts tearing up just at the very sound of the word baseball. And there are some weirdos like that, too. It's like you start hearing the Field of Dreams music in your head. No. It's not what I'm talking about. I remember Bob Costas once saying that sports is what determines greatness in men, or some variation of that. And I think that's fair. You know, so somebody who spends a dozen years in medical school and learns how to do heart-lung transplants, and so is somebody who dedicates their life to community service, and so is somebody who pours every ounce of effort they have into raising a good, solid family with kids who will go on to do great things in their individual lifespans. So all of that stuff is important, but sports is done under a spotlight. But this notion of redemption was what drove the entire weekend, and even better yet, that it involved the Yankees as one of the teams, because as I said, obviously, with the baseball world and the center of the sports universe all being in New York, you had all of these writers who were in town, and they witnessed all of this, starting on Friday night when Matt Carpenter comes to the plate for the very first time. And I got goosebumps just thinking about this. And the response, you know, again, if you got any sort of memory at all, you remember the last year and a half was not pretty. Remember what you were saying, what I was saying, what everybody was saying about Matt Carpenter? It was like, he stinks, get him out of here. And then at some point when it looked like the end was near, that's when people started backpedaling a little bit, going, well, you know what? He was one of those guys who contributed to this team on a major basis for a very, very long time, won a lot of games for us, and was one of those really, really good Cardinal baseball players. Not going to go into the Hall of Fame, but, you know, either as Willie McGee, and, you know, you want to talk about tremendous contributions to the franchise. So not only do you have the Matt Carpenter thing going on, but in terms of redemption, Paul DeJong. You cannot tell me that you saw this coming. A week ago, all you heard about Paul DeJong was trade talk. Get him out of here. Tommy Edman's fine at shortstop. You got a bunch of guys who can play second base. See what you can get for him. And then he shows up, and it's like bang, 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 bang. We got 10 RBIs on the weekend. That's what I think it was. So it would be nice. It would be nice if, and the press box just overloads when either of the New York teams come to town, especially the Yankees. The press corps is just, you can't even move up there. So it might be nice if some of those writers and media personalities and stuff like that, if they took note of what they actually saw over the weekend and maybe wrote about it and gave St. Louis the props that it deserves. But a couple of years ago, for example, the Cardinals were playing in New York against the Mets, and Jerry Seinfeld somehow ended up in the broadcast booth, and they put him on for a couple of innings, and he was talking about how the St. Louis Cardinals are the Yankees of the Midwest. Maybe the Yankees are the Cardinals of the Northeast.
Although team loyalty is a kind of hard thing to justify in the end. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, it's different guys. Every year it's different guys, yeah. Right? Teams will move from city to city. You're rooting for clothes when you get right down to it.
It's the same outfits.
It's the same. I'm rooting for an outfit. That's what it's come down to. I want my team's clothes to be the clothes from the other city. We're rooting for screaming about laundry here. People will, you know, like they'll love a guy, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then the guy will get traded. He'll come back on another team. They hate him now.
Yes, that's
the
right.
Same human being
that's
in a different shirt. Boo, get, we hate him now. Different shirt.
Oh, man. I have a lot of comedy stuff to play for you from the weekend. It is interesting. I called out Bill Maher maybe 2-3 months ago on the fact that he has really changed on a lot of positions that people who traditionally followed Bill Maher found disappointing. He is one of those guys who just reads voraciously, but then can come up with conclusions that, you know, you read it, I read it, he reads it. You and I go, okay, well, I understand what this says. And Bill Maher is like, oh no, I got something completely different from that. With regard to COVID and masks and vaccinations and everything like that. But he's always had a bug up his butt about that. He's always been this way. And now with the pandemic, you know, hopefully for the most part in our rearview mirror, although it looks like we're going to just have to deal with this on an ongoing basis every year. At least you can come out of the house and you can go to a ball game and a concert and a restaurant and stuff like that. So as far as that's concerned, where it's in the rearview mirror. But anyhow, more and more people that I'm watching now on the internet and even social media and stuff like that have noticed that Bill Maher has really changed, and that crowd that he gets in there every Friday night is really loaded with plants. Plant in the audience is somebody that the producers specifically choose because they are hooting and hollering, or that they laugh a lot. They laugh at everything. And like I said, this started a while back, and he's just got these people who tell, you know, Bill Maher up there telling a joke, and the joke is failing. But that's when these guys in the audience start hooting and cheering and over laughing. It's like, oh, great. Bill Maher, you know, used to be the sort of intelligent comedian, and now they're doing Bob and Tom shtick, where everybody just starts laughing at nothing. That having been said, his set pieces that are presented halfway through the show every night were pretty funny over the weekend, because it started with this dumb Josh Hawley book called Manhood, The Masculine Virtues America Needs. Josh Hawley, who put out the book, and then the videotape of him running away from the protesters on January 6th came out. And it's like, whoops, little marketing snafu there. Anyhow, here's what prompted all of that.
You know, this is always the Republican brand, is that we have to out macho and be more manly men than these girly people on the other side. So we got to hold some of the other books that are coming out by the other people who want to be president. Would you like to see some of these? Because I'm telling you. War. Ted Cruz has American fuckface. The case for shoving liberals' heads in the toilet. Jim Jordan has, are you there, sissy boy? It's me, Fist. Lindsey Graham has power bottom. No more leading from behind. Nikki Haley has don't need a dick to have balls. My American story. Sarah Palin, I killed a mockingbird. Ron DeSantis, uncucked. Lessons from a state shaped like a big dick.
America's schlong.
Kevin McCarthy. The case against learning. Real men don't need directions on how to drive America. Rick Scott, no clothes, no problem. Touring the red states naked on my Harley Davidson. Wow. Mike Pence has hung. How to be your own man, as told to Mrs. Pence. And Christy Noem, a good woman and a cold beer. My plan to turn Pete Buttigieg straight. That's
Rick Scott, by the way, got caught lying to Margaret Brennan yesterday morning on CBS on those public affairs shows and just made a fool out of himself. One of those guys who looks like a snake. I don't know. These hairless people, James Carville on the Democratic side, this is giving me the creeps. Human beings should not look like snakes. All right. Also, this is pretty funny. This is two segments from John Oliver last night on HBO.
Let's get to your phone calls. We'll go to Walter in Butler, Indiana. Good morning. Is the government doing enough to prevent cyber attacks?
Well, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know the answer. I have no idea.
Here's Butler, Indiana. We hear from Walter.
Walter, Butler, Indiana.
Walter is joining us from Butler, Indiana.
Butler, Indiana, Republican line. Walter, hi there.
On the Republican line, Walter.
Walter.
Walter is a Republican. Good morning.
When this whole corona thing started, I hunkered down in my bunker. I went and bought maybe 400 bottles of good Irish whiskey. I loaded up my humidors with all of the top quality Maduro cigars. I went to the supermarket and I got corned beef hash and Spam, and I've been hanging out in my bunker ever since. Now I love watching TV because I'm too old to go out and do any kind of exercise, so I sit and watch the boob tube. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I usually talk to myself and no one listens, so now I have you on the line. I don't have the internet. I don't have Facebook. I don't have a cell phone. I deal with fine. If I get a little bummed out, I go outside and feed the ducks. I'm a proud non-owner of a cell phone, a computer, an internet. I don't tweet, twerk, Twitter, Facebook. I write letters in cursive. I put them in an envelope and mail them with a return to sender address on it. And I feel bad for you. You got your nice cup of coffee today, and you're probably dying to take a swig. So go right ahead.
Oh, I'll take it. Don't worry about me. But thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's about all I got to say. But I'm good on the Spam. I still got Spam. Remember Spam? You used to open up, put it in a frying pan, get two pieces of bread with some tomatoes and mayonnaise, and you're good to go.
We'll let you go there, Walter, with a reminder. 30 days is the in-between calls, please, here on Washington Journal.
Now, let me just tell you, that lost some of its effectiveness because you're just hearing the audio. When you see the video, though, I mean, that's actually pretty quick cut. I would say maybe 15 or 20 different shows were represented there, and this guy Walter is one of those people. You know, we have those people on radio stations too. It's not really the same anymore because nobody answers their phone. Very few people make phone calls to radio stations these days. Everything's done via text if they bother at all. But back in the day, you know, you were sitting there and the phone lines, we usually had about 5 to 10 phone lines coming into the radio station, and you were expected to answer the phones. Most of them were requests, but a lot of them were just people who wanted to talk. And then if you're in talk radio, obviously it's completely different, and you do have people who want to call like every 15 minutes, like Walter right there. And you just, there's, in a lot of ways, there's nothing you can really do about it. So as funny as that was, you're like, okay, that was great. And then later on the show, they come back with another segment.
And now, Walter from Butler, Indiana, has some thoughts on mortality.
Let's talk to Walter, who's calling from Butler, Indiana. Walter, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm confused, and I don't mean to be snarky, but so what? They die. And when you're going to die, you're going to die. Like I said, I haven't been with a doctor since I'm 65, 40-some years. I don't take any vitamins. I don't try to eat well. I do what I want, and I'm great. You know, when you're going to go, you're going to go. I've never taken a medication in my life. I've never taken anything except a vitamin. and I got all sorts of like hitches and problems and this and that. I don't go to a doctor, and I feel that whenever the good Lord's ready to take me home, I'm going to be taken home. And in the end, we all die anyway, so what does it matter which way you go? So just shut up and deal with life the best you can. I mean, my friends and I would get out of the house early in the morning, and we'd get on our bicycles, and we'd play stickball in the streets, and we'd, if we wanted to go up to Sears, we'd get on, actually hang on the back of a bus and drive up over Fordham Road to get off. And I mean, it was just insane. Nobody gets out alive. Okay. You know, it's like, hey, whatever, the mystery of life. I mean, what's my end game? To be in a nursing home, not knowing what I'm doing, with drool coming out of my mouth, and everybody around me has been dead? Not on my watch. No, thank you.
Right.
You don't win by staying around longer. Everybody else passes away, and you have nobody to care for you anyway. So I just think that you should just throw out all your medications, get up every day, thank the Lord for the day you have, and when it's going to go, go. Nothing is promised to you. And when you want to die, just drop dead. So
let's go to Greg.
Walter. Notice I have not talked about Alex Jones. You know why? Because that's what he deserves. By the way, he's got at least two more civil trials he's got to deal with, so they're not done with him. There's a lot of people who think that, well, they're never going to be able to get the money. Oh, I suspect, you know, this will end up getting appealed and it'll get knocked down by, I don't know, a couple $1 million, but I think he's going to have to pay it. And the courts don't like it when you're hiding money, and they have a way of finding out where it is. By the way, my favorite meme from the weekend goes like this. For everyone looking to move to Montana, today it was 103, and in 5 months it'll be 140 degrees colder than it was today. Oh, and bears will eat you. Translated, stay out of here. There's a lot of communities like that that are like, hey, one of the reasons we moved here is because it wasn't crowded. And there weren't a lot of people who were sort of in on the secret of this wonderful community. And look what you're doing. You're ruining the whole damn thing. What else? Oh, yeah. I posted this yesterday. Let's all remember who we have to thank for Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz. Is it about time somebody calls out Oprah for all of this? And then somebody late last night said, it's not Oprah's fault that she put these guys on the air. They changed. And it sounds like you could probably make a convincing case for that. You know, you start with the best of intentions, and people get a little money, they get a little power, they get a little recognition, and some people don't really know how to deal with that or what to do with that power, the influence, whatever the case may be. I sat right next to Jamie Allman at Channel 4 for like 6 of the 7 years I was there. And while his nickname was the Acid Monkey, I don't think I ever saw Jamie display behavior that would have led me to believe that somewhere down the line he was going to turn into what he turned into. There's a lot of people I could say that about. But again, you know, you bring somebody in with the best of intentions, sometimes people change. Speaking of change, let's talk about climate change. Summer in the United States could be 8 degrees hotter by the year 2100, with some cities feeling more like the Middle East. And there are people who will jump up and down and go, where are you getting that? There's no science to indicate that. And those are the same people who are saying that climate change was a hoax all along, that COVID was a hoax, that everything that they don't believe in is a hoax. And by the way, people always like to talk about this Mother Nature thing. Mother Nature, which, like a lot of religion that people are still buying into, I just think that the concept of things like religion and Mother Nature and patriotism and stuff like that are all ideas that were designed for us when we were like 8 and 9 years old and in the second and third grade. I don't think that any of this stuff was intended to have us still believing it all when we became adults. So I have children's books and things like that that, talk about, you know, one of the things you always have to do with little kids who are in preschool and stuff like this, teach them not how to bite. Kids always want to bite another person when they don't like something that they're doing, and you have to explain to them in ways that their little brains that are so underdeveloped at that age can understand. And kids love animals and dinosaurs and stuff like that. So the concepts are related to little kids by way of something that they can accept and understand. When you're 50, 60 years old, you should be going, oh, okay, yeah, that obviously was taught to me when I was a little kid so that I sort of grew up understanding you have to be a good person. You got to be in control of yourself. Just, you know, simple, basic concepts like that designed to help us figure out ways to just all get along, particularly when we are little kids. Stuff wasn't supposed to be believed. You're a fully grown adult. But this concept of Mother Nature is another one. We just picture somebody elderly, like, looks like your grandmother, you know, who always took care of you and loved you and you loved your grandma. Yeah, yeah. Mother Nature has been trying to wipe us off the planet since day one. Big animals chasing us, trying to eat us. Plagues, hurricanes, tornadoes, disease, Rob Schneider movies. So politicians over the weekend sort of flew under the radar. They wanted to cap the price of insulin at $35, and a whole bunch of politicians that you can read who they are on the internet, it's there for you to peruse yourself, voted against it. Something like, I don't know, $300 a vial, and they wanted to bring it down to the price, which is what the drug companies and the manufacturers, when they put the thing out, they're like, eh, it's probably about $30-$40. And along the lines, somebody else got access to it and said, no, let's make that $300. Well, they tried to pass a law. Well, you know how that turned out. This is how poorly people pay attention to what's going on. Although I will say it's possible that this poll was taken before the tail end of last week, which was without question, the best week for Joe Biden. But a lot of things, you know, a lot of good things are happening now. A lot of bad things are still happening in terms of things like the economy. But here's the poll. This was a CBS poll. No, wait, what was it? I think it's a CNN poll. U.S. economy. What percentage of Americans say the economy is getting worse? 69%. Americans say it's improving. 12%. How can you not make the observation that things are picking up? A jobs report that was double what the industry analysts, the experts, and by the way, maybe we need some new experts. The jobs report comes back double. Gasoline prices are dropping, although president really has nothing to do with the price of gasoline. Oh, wait, here's that insulin story. 43 Republicans voted today to keep insulin at $1,200 a month instead of capping it at $35 a month. 43 Republicans. I thought it was 300. It's 1,200. Supposed to be 35. We get the government we deserve. Another one of my favorite memes from over the weekend. It says at the top of the meme, it says Rambo, and there's a picture of a knife. And then it says Chuck Norris, and there's a picture of a machine gun. Then it says Bruce Lee, and there's a pair of nunchucks. And then the last one says Mama, and it's a wooden spoon and a shoe. The Abbey Road photo shoot, the Beatles crossing right there, was taken on this date back in 1969. I have a couple of pictures that until last year, I don't think anybody had ever seen, and they published them. It was like, where have you been keeping these? But they're alternate shots of the Beatles crossing at Abbey Road, and I'll post that on my Facebook page. I'm going to get off the air today. Off the air. Listen to me. I still think I'm on the radio. When the podcast is done today, I'll put those pictures up at the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran on Facebook. First night game at Wrigley Field, 8-8-88. Easy to remember. And I was at that game. I paid $1,500 for two tickets that were down the left field line right in front of the tarp. I was in row two with my dad. My dad had started taking me to Wrigley Field, you know, growing up in Chicago with my uncle playing on the team. I was like 4 years old, and I just thought it was a nice thing to do to take him with me. And we broadcast from Murphy's Bleachers that night. So remember, we had Geraldo Rivera on the air, and it was because he was in town because WGN's parent company was the one that was syndicating that Geraldo chair throwing show. And people will say, JC, you did not attend the first night game at Wrigley Field that night against the Philadelphia Phillies. And you'd only be half right. Yes, the game got into the second inning, and then the skies opened up and it rained about 3 inches that night, and the temperature dropped about 40 degrees. I thought we were going to die of exposure out there. So the game was rained out, and they had to play the first actual night game the next night on the 9th of August, 1988. But all of the lead up, all of the ceremonies, you know, the first pitch, bringing back all the old Chicago Cubs, all of that stuff, all the pomp and circumstance, and the first time, you know, the lights were ever turned on for the public to see, that was all on 8/8/88. I was there. As far as I'm concerned, that was the first night game. I still have my ticket stub, my press pass, and a hat that they gave out everybody that night. Might not seem like a big deal to Cardinal fans, but I'm telling you, it was a huge, huge deal. And Heche, who couldn't decide what she was going to chase, men or women, dated Steve Martin back in the day. And even he said back then, there was no indication to me that she was bisexual. Apparently, she was drinking in her car while it was moving, while she was driving. It had a big crash and some sort of fire and explosion. And they say she got pretty badly burned. How did Pete Davidson think this was going to end? That's all I'm giving to that story. Late Night Tonight, Idris Elba and Aubrey Plaza. There was something oddly sexy about that woman. She's on with Jimmy Fallon. Colbert's got Mindy Kaling and Joe Walsh. And again, Bud Light is the number one top-selling beer in the United States, which is a fitting ranking since number one is pretty much what Bud Light tastes like. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Monday, August 8th, 2022 is in the can. 96 days remaining in our American democratic system of government. As we have known it, we publish here every weekday morning just after 7 o'clock. Absolutely free. Please spread the word. We're in the top 10 of all podcasts in the country, the top 10%. We would like to stay there. You may email me, jc@jconline.com, on Facebook, The Showgram. With J.C. Corcoran, have a great day. Cards are in first place. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.